Because this man went to America, and America said, oh, yes, he's smoking weed. Let me show you something else. They gave him crack. You know, they call crack cocaine. Cocaine, you know, all of you know about cocaine. Crack is a purified form of cocaine. And they don't purify it away, they call it crack. My friend said, when the guy went to America, they gave him crack. His head cracked. He wasn't normal again. When he came back to Nigeria, they said, even after he came back, they would pay him 200,000 naira. Look, the time I was telling you about, I was earning 6,000 naira in a month as a doctor. After my NYC, a whole month of working, my salary, 6,000. One night, they give me 200,000. He said, they will get there. My friend was working the company that was managing him. Plain now, you say it's not plain that people are not dancing. Hey, what concerns you whether they dance or not? They gave you 200,000. That's all that matters. They are dancing. They didn't pay to dance. They paid for you to play. That is, indiscipline was what wrecked the man. A skill. If I mention his name now, you will jump. But right now, you don't hear the name anymore. It has disappeared. When musicians, I see some of them, some of my guys who are into music and all that, when they come to Enugu, one guy I was talking to some months ago, he said he saw the guy in Lagos. You see him, he's like, when he's walking on the road, you think he's mad. That the older musician, when they see him, they see, know that, guy, how can he be? And when you hear him sing, oh God. I'm telling you. So you see, and that fellow doesn't, when I, you know, I wasn't into secular music. But one day, I was watching TV, and he came. By the time he came back for the second round, I was watching TV. When he held the microphone, and he made, just sang one line, I was converted. You know my conversion. And all this time, I never bothered about him. When he was singing, he was popular in the late 80s, late 80s and early 90s. I wasn't bothered. But that day, I just saw him hold a mic like on TV. He sang one line, looked back. The way he moved, I said, this fellow is called into this ministry. You know, the people you just see, you know this one is in his ministry. No. Whether he's a believer or not, that's not what I'm talking about now. But this one he's doing, God gave him that gift. A lot of musicians who are making money, I wonder who sent them in there. But there are musicians you hear like this once, eh? You know this one? God gave him this gift. Even if he's using to serve Satan. You know, there are certain gifts that Satan doesn't have. In fact, he doesn't have any gifts. He can only corrupt that which God has given. That's all he can do. He make you use it for wrong purposes. I mean, all of you know of the bunch. You know, he was a choir leader in Winners Chapel. Forget all the nonsense he's singing now. Listen. Satan doesn't have any gift. Only God has gifts. But when he has seen that God has given you a gift, he will now come and negotiate with you. Let me make you great quick. That's what he does. He came to Jesus Christ. All right, since you want to take over the world, let's make you fast. Bow to me. Worship me, and I'll give you everything. Jesus said, do I look like an idiot to you? I'm just paraphrasing it. Jesus refused. At the end of the day, what Jesus gave, the Bible says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever. Satan knows you are going somewhere. He negotiates with you to make you use your gift to serve him rather than serve God. And the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. Some of the most anointed preachers I know are not preaching. They are arguing. Yes. Everywhere they go, they can't help it. They are so anointed. They're always getting into argument and talk. And you'll be looking, this guy is a preacher. But instead of him to settle and agree to preach, but the thing inside him has not left him alone. So he's using it for all kinds of things. Some of the politicians that make a lot of noise, some of them were supposed to preach. But they refused to give their life to Christ. They refused to follow the word of God. So Satan says, okay, let me give you another place. You can be preaching something else. You give them money, influence. When he talks, he moves the nation. But some of us who have some discernment in some area, we all look and say, this one, he should have been preaching. That gift was given for the propagation of righteousness and teaching the knowledge of God. He has gone to use it for motivational speaking. It's very, very common. Because motivational speaking makes money. Ah, you do know the temptation inside it? The attempt. How many preachers do you stalk for one whole day? You want to thank him for coming, giving 1 million naira. It's very rare. All of these top motivational speakers to come, you first pay 5 million. Oh, what do you think? Oh, you think it's a joke? A friend of mine was supposed to arrange to host a particular motivational speaker from America recently. He said when he calculated the bill, he said, thank you, I'm not interested. That is, the money is heavy. What? One of my friends in their office, they wanted to invite, this one is a comedian, Alibaba, to just come and moderate a show for them. His bill was 5 million naira. They said, Don't bother coming. We'll find somebody else. That is what makes some people get tempted. They now go somewhere else. Because when you finish preaching, they don't preach more than the person preaching the word of God. But according to God also, the Osusu is, Godon is one man. Is just by the way, I can say this now. He's always yapping people, so I can yap him too. Abi? I know you want to hear. That's why you're saying yes, sir. One day I was in a church. Godon's came to, how many of you know Godon's a comedian? He came to preach, and I said this under God. God knows I'm not lying. My whole life, I have been going to Christ, I mean like proper churches where the Holy Spirit is present. Since 1980, around 86, 87. That's a long time ago. I can't count 3 meetings. Okay, there's 1, 2. Okay, let me just make it easy. I can't count 5 meetings that was as powerful in all these my years of going to church as the one in which Godon spoke for 45 minutes one day. I was there. He grabbed the microphone and was preaching on a Sunday morning. He used to pastor a church. That was the time. When he finished, I ran outside to go and look for money. Put it in an envelope. By the time I came out, he had gone. I think I was traveling. I gave it to my brother to go and pursue him. He located the hotel where he was staying to go and give him that. Good afternoon, sir. My brother said I should give you this. They carried him physically out of the hall. When I see him in Lagos now, cracking jokes, you know I mention his name because that's what he does. He will yap you publicly. So let him hear this, that I said it. When I see him now, and he's always saying something. He said, no vex, now so they find that I'm doing this just for money. And I can you see, I see, look at how people miss, see how they miss these things. He cracks some jokes. Sometimes I say, bros, I know it's a joke, but a Christian shouldn't say this. This is too dirty for you. And you say, bros, I beg na joke. And that's what they find. Always crack. He's a comedian. He's a comedian now. His last album, he was thanking his inspirations. I say, bros, you are backsliding. Who are his inspirations? There's one comedian I don't listen to at all. He's foul-mouthed. Basket mouth. If basket mouth starts talking, I go away. He's the only Nigerian that I know that all he does is crack dirty jokes. I've heard him only once. And I said, I never liked what he looks like anyway. So, and it was onto my inspiration, Alibaba. Of course, I mentioned Alibaba, mentioned those people. I just said, brother, in case they did not tell you, this is original backsliding. And he will say that when children's school fees, they come, you'll be preaching to yourself, you won't know. That's what he was doing. That is why a lot of people get tempted. That's what I'm talking about. That's what, just get tempted. And that's what you must fight. Satan doesn't have power. All he does is to tempt people. When you fall for his temptation, you give him power over your life. I feel like somebody should go and tell God, come back to ministry. Forget all of these things. You'll be poor for 2-3 years. And after that, you will stabilize. You may never become as rich as these other boys you are following now, but you will be in the center of the will of God. And peradventure, you may become that rich. But at that point in time, it wouldn't matter to you anymore. And those are the kinds of people that God blesses. when it doesn't matter to them anymore. What am I trying to say? Listen, gifts don't make anybody. Gifts can make you become known, but the only thing that will establish you is your heart, the character of your heart. I said we should open to the scripture. There are three things I said at the stages in life. There's one in which God calls, there's one in which God chooses, and then there's the one in which He establishes. And we're going to read a number of scriptures to explain them. First of all, the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 14. Don't bother opening to it. It's something we all know. I will just quote it and then we'll continue going. He said, many are called, but few are what? At least we know that. Then read 2 Peter chapter 1. That is the one I want us to read. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll read verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1. Where I want is verse 10, but I always like to back up. In fact, this is important. Let's read the whole of 2 Peter up to that verse 11. Where I want is verse 10, but as I open to it, and I realize that there's something to learn, which I've taught on again and again from the earlier portions. It said, from verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Please, because of time, I jump when I'm reading a long portion, all right? So please try and follow me. I'll let you know which verse I'm in. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Remember, my first topic is success is who you are. That is God's promises. They have granted to you everything that pertains to life and godliness. So that, He said, God has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. He said, now, because this is your nature, this success, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. Supply moral excellence. Everybody please say moral excellence. That's what we are calling character. In your moral excellence, supply knowledge. And in your knowledge, supply self-control. That's part of character. In fact, all of these things is what we call character. And your self-control, perseverance, is still part of character. Ability to endure difficult situations. And your perseverance, godliness. That is, as you are enduring the difficult situations, don't deviate from the principles of godliness. And your godliness supply brotherly kindness. Sometimes when people are in dire conditions, they think only of themselves. So, and your brotherly kindness supply love, that is love for everyone. Now please notice verse 8. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, verse 10, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain or to ensure you are established about his calling and his choosing you. That is, you are called, those who were called were chosen. But now that you have been chosen, be diligent to make certain that calling and that choosing. As long as you practice these things that we listed, brotherly kindness, love, faith, perseverance, moral excellence, you will never stumble. Please notice it. As long as your character is together and you practice these excellent things of character, you will never stumble. That is how you will endure. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Please, I hope you are following that. That is, you have been called, you have been chosen. But there are things that, in simple terms, we can group as character. He talked about moral excellence. He talked about faith. He said you use diligence, work on it. You apply knowledge. Self-control, godliness, perseverance, all those things is what we call character.
And Peter said, that is the only way you will not stumble. That is the only way your ministry will not collapse. That is the only way by which your business will not collapse. That is the only way. That is the only way. Your gifts will not help you to be established. Your zeal, please listen to this, oh, your zeal will not establish you. The only thing that establishes you, that will make you prosper and you will not fail, is your character, your moral excellence, your habit of godliness, your habit of telling the truth. You know, Paul said as a preacher, quickly open to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This was what Paul said about himself as a preacher. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you are in ministry, listen to this. In chapter 4, I wanted to say, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, we have, verse 1, said, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Please notice that too. I just want to quickly read them, just see what other translations, how they describe that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that is what we are talking about, character. One of the mistakes people in ministry make these days is that they think that you can manipulate the word of God to get your own results. You understand? It says, this is in the Message Bible. Since God has so generously let us in on what he's doing, we are not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. Did you hear that? That we are not about to walk off the job and throw up our hands just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. We don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. This is very important for preachers. One of the things I see, because we're talking about leaders now, that's why I need to emphasize this. If you're a preacher, you are not, the word of God is not supposed to be used, you know, I told you earlier about getting results. It's not supposed to be used to get results. It's supposed to be told. The truth is supposed to be told. Like I said to preachers, if you want to collect money, say simply, please, brethren, we need money. Who will give us? Is that hard? It's not wrong. If you don't mind doing it, please, we need money if you are going, but not, I have come today. As I was coming, God said he wants to give 5 cars out today. And only the first 15 people that will come out with an offering of 100,000. See, when you start like that, excuse me, one of my friends the other day, he called me early in the morning. He's my colleague at work. He calls me pastor. He called me early in the morning. He said, pastor, there's a problem. Early in the morning. He said, pastor, there's a problem. I said, what do you mean? What's the problem? That he's just not leaving church. That he's just not leaving his church. That they told them in church, come tomorrow morning. They have an early morning, you know, breakthrough prayer meeting, that kind of thing. One minister was coming. So he carried his family, went to church around 6 a.m. He got to church. And they said, God is going to bless somebody today. The whole church added, amen. There are 20 special people here today that God wants to bless this morning. Everybody shouted, amen. If you're amongst the 20, let me see your hand. A church of maybe 500 or 1,000 people. Of course. Okay, everybody didn't come. Let's assume there were 400. A hand went up. You're amongst the 20. Okay, rush forward now with 50,000 naira. My friend just grabbed his wife. That one grabbed their children. Just said, let's go. He was so angry. It was when he entered his car, started driving off furiously. He now picked his phone and called me. I said, what is it? He said, there's a problem. There's a problem. He was so angry. I had a very good laugh that day. His only is that you made me leave my house this early morning. Why didn't you just tell me simply, please, oh, I should bring 50,000 naira. I would have sent it. I wouldn't have bothered coming. You come and pretend to me as if you want to bless me. Meanwhile, you want to collect money. He was so angry. If you see him, he's a very humble fellow. In fact, the head pastor of their church, I hear that the man respects that my friend a lot. He's a very humble fellow. One of my boys, you know, one of my younger people in ministry, is a senior pastor in their church. So I told him that man is well respected, though. That is, he's a very humble person. So for him to get angry, walk out while the preacher is talking. Imagine the level of provocation. If you're a preacher, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Brethren, please, we need ₦1,000,000. I know some of you, God has blessed you. Please, how many people will give me 50,000 naira? We'd have ₦1,000,000 bill to meet. There's no problem with that. Honestly, I don't do it, you know, often, but it's not because, not even often, I just generally don't do it, all right? It's just a personal issue, all right? Uh-huh. But it's not because it's wrong. Nothing wrong with it. Just tell people simply. You see, wait till you meet Christians that God's Spirit is working in. They are very nice people. You hear what I say? They are very nice. Good Christians with the Word of God inside them, they are good people. If you just tell them the truth, and they see that what you are saying is true, they will go back home, wherever they kept the money, they will bring it, and give. Once you are an honest and a man of integrity. A friend of mine, the other day, he said to me that he shared this with his leaders in his church. One day, now listen to this, a house suddenly came up for sale. And something in him said that I want to buy that house for myself. Now, this he wanted to buy it for himself. So he just made a call to some of his friends. Look, guys, this is the situation. This house is a good deal. And they just said, how much is it? He told them. They gathered the money and sent it to him. Just gathered the money. A whole house. And he said it clearly. He said, the deal has to be concluded this week. And that I'm not asking for a loan because I can't pay back. I don't know whether you hear what I said. He said, I'm not asking for a loan. I can't pay back. And guys just said, okay, that's not a problem. So they're calling themselves. You, come. How much do you have there? We're trying to get this amount of money. Oh, yeah, you. Okay, he said, okay, I'll lend you. You will give me back later. And he said, yes. That's how they gathered at the end of the day. They carried the money and sent to him. When they gave the owner of the house the money, that one was shocked. That you mean say this pastor gave money like this? But he didn't have. He was using to teach people that he was just a man of integrity. He just realized that, I would like to buy this thing. I would like to own it. I can't give you all the details about it. But he just said this was his conclusion. And he gave me the reasons. Guy said this is good. And while he was sleeping, men were, give me your own portion. You know, finally, the money is complete now. Draw for him. So nobody's saying that it's a bad thing. But they say, as I was sleeping this night, God began to show me that some people are about to go up. And the way by which they will go up is if they first sell all that they have and give to me. Now you are begging to be destroyed. If you're a preacher, you are begging to be what? Destroyed. Paul said, we renounce those things. First, God calls you. You have answered the call. To become a minister, to become a missionary, to become a businessman, to become a politician, whatever God has called you into, because God calls people to different areas. Please, I like to read that book I wrote called How to Work for God. Because everybody has an area that God calls him into. The fact that you have answered the call does not guarantee that you will go far there. Answering the call is the first step. What did I call it? What did I call it? Many are called. Those who answer the call are the ones that are chosen. Amongst those who are chosen, God now says, work to ensure that this your calling is sure. And there was a man who we all know, we should read the story, who when he got to that point, he failed there. Quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 13. That was a man that when he got to that point, he failed. Because of time, we won't read the whole thing. But you know that when Saul took off as king in Israel, And the first battle he was going to go for, one of those first ones, he and Samuel had an arrangement. And the arrangement was that you will wait for 7 days, then I will come. And as a priest, I will offer the sacrifice before you go out to battle. Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. That was his excuse. So Saul said, bring me the burnt offering. What he did essentially was that he I don't have time to go into it in details, but he disregarded the priestly office. That was what he did. Thinking that as a king, he has their power, he has the anointing. But which was wrong. He said, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. To let you know that Samuel came within 7 days, the Bible says, as soon as he finished the burnt offering. Do you understand? Because it was a 7 day, then Samuel didn't show. He said, let me do it. As soon as he finished, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? He said, I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that it did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Now verse 13 is our message for today. Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. He was called, the whole of Israel was called. He alone was chosen. But whose kingdom will endure was to be decided after he had been crowned king. You have been anointed into office. You have become a blessed preacher of the gospel. You have sacrificed much for the gospel. You have become a businessman. You are a missionary, like we have been encouraged, all right, to put in our mind. You are an evangelist, a traveled evangelist. You are a pastor of a church. Whatever it is that you have done for God is the beginning. What did I call it? You've just qualified for the heavens to check whether you can be established. Then the test of life now starts, and it's with those tests of life that God now decides whether your kingdom will endure or it will not endure. I started by explaining something at the beginning, that you just do what is right and you let God take care of himself. You let God bring the results into your life. You just do that which is right and let God bring the results into your life. It is not that you labor, because you see, you will see it is always very easy to the discerning eyes to know when a man or a woman is being tested to check whether the kingdom will endure. It is always do what is wrong to get quick results. I don't know whether you hear what I said. The test is always, the Philistines are coming. Quickly do something. Please, I hope you follow what I'm saying. It's always the test. It's always the time of trial that there's, no one will talk about temptations. Let me tell you something about temptations, which I like to tell people. You know why they are called temptations? Because they are tempting. If it's not tempting, it's not a temptation. I don't know whether you got that. There will always be a reason to want to do it. That's why it's called a temptation. There will always be a reason to want to do it. There will always be something to gain. If I'm going on the road now and an area boy slaps me, that's not a temptation. That's affliction. I'm inside the market. Maybe I'm inside the motor park. As I did so, let's look at me like this. And area boy, I won't be tempted to fight him back. That's not a temptation. I just know I've sinned. And this is a judgment of God, because this is not temptation. I will not... Inside motor park. I'll be tempted to run. Okay, you can say it's a temptation to run or not to run. I'll say, you won't try me? Wait here. Let me go and call police. Then when I enter motor, they go, she didn't behead me. He didn't stab me. I only slap. But temptation is when your roommate amongst, you understand my point, amongst your peers pushes you like this, say, eh, this boy wants to disgrace me. Are you getting it? That's not a temptation. That one is a temptation. That's what temptations are. They are tempting. If you want to tell maybe an university lecturer like I am, just add 3 marks to this person. Here is money. And it is the time that schools are just opening. You know, you have 2 children in secondary school. As we're on strike, they have not paid you. And this school that your children are going to, they know they take nonsense. After 1 week of opening, you can't come to school again. And school fees, this is expensive. And somebody's not saying you should do anything bad, though. They're just saying that they should just have mercy. You know, they won't say do wicked, just have mercy. We are begging you, sir. It's mercy. As a man of God, and as a child of God, it's just 5 marks so that this boy can graduate. You get my point? Everything is, you are a good person. Yeah. At the end of the day, the young calculated children's school fees, and the boy's father is very rich and is offering you 250,000 naira so that his son can so-called graduate. Now, that is temptation. For a lot of people, that is temptation because God can understand. I want to help. You suddenly say, I want to help the boy. It's not because of the money, actually. I just want to help the boy. God is looking like this boy. You think I'm a fool of me? Why didn't you help him when his father brought 250,000 naira? I know it's called temptation. Temptation is when the Philistines are about to show and Samuel has not yet come. And you know you need the blessing of the priestly office and you are not allowed to offer that offering yourself. That's temptation. But this is the funny part of it. The sad side also. That is the very point in which God is determining whether you will go far or you won't. He's not angry. You must understand about God. It's not as if he's angry like, what did he do? I want to kill him today. No. It's more of someone you can see he cannot endure as a king. I don't know whether I get the point. It's a simple arrangement. It's a simple judgment. We are not angry. We are not sad. You have just made it clear that you cannot be established as a king. Many business people, that is the issue. Friends are making money, they are not making. How are you people doing it? By the time they finish telling them the story, the man knows first of all that this is wrong. But after a while, other people are buying cars, he's not buying. They are building, he's not moving forward. And then, after a while, they start explaining and rationalizing. He knows it is wrong. Then he does it. God says, okay, you've done well. You have 2 shops. That is where you are going to end. You are not a candidate to replace Dangote. That's what keeps Christians capped. So when I start praying, there is an anointing tonight to break all the ancestral. The ancestral curse is not your problem. The only problem, ancestral curses are tied to ancestral sins. I hope you know that. Did you hear what I said? Ancestral curses are what? They are tied to ancestral sins. If you are giving your life to Christ and you are not there doing ancestral sins, you are not under an ancestral curse. It's when God comes to establish people, all right, on their own thrones, he gives them a test and they are not established. I said something at the beginning. That's why I said, Lord, this is what I said. The kind of results God wants to bring into your life is not what you labored for, it's what you qualified for. Did you hear what I said? It is what you qualified for. God, we're talking about business also. God can make any child of God a billionaire. That is, when they mention Dangote's name, Dangote say, oh, I have one senior brother, and this is that Christian's name they are mentioning. That is, senior brother in business, that's what I mean. God said, I can do it. He said, how do we start? It's not how do we start. If I've called, because everybody has a calling. That's one thing you must understand. there are things I don't pray to for myself for. I am not interested. One day, a friend of mine, I said, don't worry, one day you'll be CMD, that's chief medical director of my teaching hospital. And I said, which kind of prayer is that? I reject it in Jesus' name. I said, why? You don't want to be CMD? Yes, I don't want to be CMD. Because if I'm CMD, I can't guarantee you I'll be at this meeting. Because if I'm in the office and a phone call comes from Abuja, I'm under obligation to report there. Is it a bad thing? No, it's just not my calling. Somebody else is supposed to do that. I put as primary in front of the things that I do, the preaching of this gospel. It's my own primary assignment. So there are blessings you will bless me with, I will reject it. So that's not the blessing, it's a distraction. Alright? But there are Christians that their own assignment is, take business as an example. You are going to be a billionaire. You must understand that being a billionaire is not about money. It's about influence. It's about what you control. It's your ability to direct things. Are you getting my point? It's not the amount of cash you have to spend. That's not at all what it's about. It is who will employ 50,000 people. Who will bring uninterrupted power supply. Who will build a refinery. Who will build enough private universities that are affordable. You are getting my point? Who will fly very safe planes? Who will invest in internet, maybe Wi-Fi all over the country? Who will produce, who will produce cars that are properly made in Nigeria, not made in China and branded in Nigeria? No, we do a lot of made in Nigerian things that are actually made in China but branded in Nigeria. No, God is saying, look, who are the people that will produce all these equipments locally? That's what it means to be a billionaire. Doesn't mean that who is a man who eats well and then flies a private jet and everybody is doing him rankadidi. That's not the meaning of the word billionaire. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So to occupy such an office, God actually has anointed, his calling, or he has called. Many people have been chosen. They're on their path. Then I say, will it be established in this thing? So let's start testing their character. Many people are contesting for governor in Nigeria. But it will make you laugh. There are people who are missing their ministry. Because a lot of people just have some money. They just say, this governorship position, let's go. God says, I didn't send you to do that one. But somebody said that, look, that's an easier way to build up your empire. They go for it. That's it. He said, today I will have established his ministry. That is in that business area. Many pastors, the same thing. After preaching around for a while, like they say, like Godon's, that Christian comedy I was telling you about, he will say, the osusu is not dropping. Somebody will say, start a church. That's where the money is. The day he settles down, hires a hall, God says, I will have established his ministry. He will have become another Billy Graham or become another Rehan Bunky. But leave him there. He will pass out the church. The church will grow big. But he will not endure. Where God always disqualifies people is when they know what is right to do, but pressure makes them do the opposite. That's why they are disqualified. Let me say something, because I want to stop. This is not supposed to scare Christians. It's supposed to, because Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and choosing sure. That means there's something you can do. He said, what you do therefore is add to your faith moral excellence. It's something you consciously add to your faith. That's it. One, of course, this is my own teaching about it. First of all, you must be a man of prayer. And when I say prayer, and I don't mean man of prayer fighting demons. There are those who believe they should wake up at 6 a.m. fighting demons. 2 a.m. Have you heard that thing before? That demons are most active before between 2 and 3 a.m. You've heard it before? I hope you don't believe it. I thank God. Because it's not true. Okay, maybe they are most active, but the blood of Jesus is active all the time. Are you getting my point? You are covered all the time. The name of Jesus you release at 8 p.m. is still working till tomorrow. Even doctors, they have injections that work for 24 hours. They have injections that work for one whole month. How much more the name of Jesus? So don't worry. Just go and sleep. Amen? If you want to stay up at night for good purposes. Like, okay, everywhere is quiet now. It's now time for me to study. It's a good reason to stay awake. If you want to stay awake for good prayers. It is time to do my own cultic activity. Remember? I take the word of God, I start declaring it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because we should do that. We should meditate. You know, if you are like many people, like I am, you have children, you have work, sometimes the best thing to do is to go and sleep very early. Then wake up at 12 midnight when everybody has gone to sleep and everywhere is quiet, then you can study. In fact, my wife is very good at that one. Sometimes I wake up during the night, I see her, she's sitting down there. She has a book, she has a pen, she's reading, and she's underlining. And sometimes, you know, it's good I married my wife because she does a lot of praying for me. And then I peep, she's there declaring the word in the name of Jesus. I had very good, and I can go back to sleep, you know. I was very good at that. But the problem is, if you want to do it for the right reasons. Those are the reasons Christians do. We don't wake up at night to be fighting demons. It's an insult. What did I call it? You wake up at night for good things. Like declaring the word of God is a good one. Is a good one. Like studying the word of God, you can say, okay, everybody has now gone. It's like, I now have my time. It's quiet. I can now meditate without, because once my wife and I are in the house, the children are always, every 2 minutes, they knock on the door. Coco, who is that? It's me. Amena. What is it? I want to tell mommy something. Okay, come in. You're walking. What is it? When I was moving just now, Benga just pushed me from the back. You know, children. Okay, go and tell him that daddy said, no more pushing. You go away. You know, that's how they be trooping in and out. And if now mistakenly give somebody something, maybe, okay, take this sweet. He now goes out. And my wife said, they are soon coming. Then they start coming one by one. So while it is day, you can do very little. So at some time, let everybody, when they go to bed, you to go to bed. Then wake up at night, take a book and begin to study. Begin to pray. Begin to meditate about your own ministry. It can be a preaching ministry. It can be a business ministry. It's a good time. It's a good time to water tomorrow. Be declaring the word of God to you. Because what resists Satan is actually the upliftment of the word of God. It's not this, I resist, I resist. If you like, resist. If you're his friend, he's your friend. He'll still come tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? But if you uplift the word of God, all right? If you uplift the word of God, Satan is resisted. Is that all right? Okay. Now, why I'm bringing out this issue is that it's a good time. What we use prayer for mostly, according to the word of God, is to use it to shape your own character. That's what I'm trying to explain. When I'm going to tell you that, look, your own way is not the straight. You don't tell the truth. Don't argue. Go and think. Did you hear what I said? You go and think and you pray. Because if it is true, it is true, and you need to repent. If you catch yourself, one day one brother was discussing, he said, that one lady called him, he's a married man. And this is good to tell yourself the truth. If you lie to yourself, it's the worst thing one of the worst things, let me put it like that you can do to yourself as a Christian. Telling yourself lies. Tell yourself the truth. He said a lady called him to please come and help. A young woman, he's a married man. And he entered his car, drove to go and help her out. Then suddenly he told himself, did you see the way you jumped up? Why? Now, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. He told himself the truth. Oh boy, this is attraction. Behave yourself. You're a married man. And in fact, that's why he was telling this testimony. That he said, No, this is not right. That this is not right. He didn't do anything bad though. You know, the way we talk about bad. Nothing. It's just that a woman called him, not his wife, and it moved him with excitement and he jumped out. He said, no, in Jesus' name. I reject this. Some people are praying that prayer when it's too late. You understand what I'm saying? When it's time to be repenting of evil they have done. This one from the beginning. He said, what was that? What caused that excitement? No. He turned it to prayer. Let me add my own words now. My ministry must endure. I must be successful in this life. I add to my faith moral excellence in the name of Jesus. Any woman calls me, I'm not excited again. These are serious prayers people need to pray. I'm telling you the truth. When you realize that you're a business person, you are beginning to tell plenty of stories because of extra money. It's not time to be feeling bad. It's time to go home and say, oh boy, which time did your life become like this? Look, it's not about struggle. It's about learning how to pray. I say it all the time. One of the best things God did for Christians is to give us the ability to pray. When you get on your knees and say such things out, To confess just means to acknowledge. It's not to say, God, I will not do it again. God knows. If you say, I won't do it again, you will do it again. I will not do it again doesn't work. In Christianity, it is God. Did you see that? This is wrong. I acknowledge. God said to them, only acknowledge your iniquity. I acknowledge my iniquity. And God now says simply, I forgive you of that and I cleanse you from that tendency. That's how it works. Listen, I just want to end my message there. We as believers, human beings generally, and particularly Christians, what makes us endure in life is not the fact that you are anointed. Your skill does not make you endure. Many people that feel are very skilled, they are heavily anointed. The only thing that makes us endure in life is character, which Peter outlined for us there. Moral excellence. One of the ones I like to tell Christians emphatically is, tell the truth all the time. Tell it to yourself. Tell it to other people. And there's, you know, when we were children, there's one joke we used to play. We thought we were smart. We didn't know God. You're saying, leave them. They are children. They will learn. If you're supposed to be coming from, let's assume you're supposed to be coming from this door now. Assume that I tell you, okay, go and wait outside there. And I said, okay, come in. I said, where are you coming from? I said, I'm coming from there. Meanwhile, you know that you are coming from the gate. But so that it won't be a coming from the gate, you go and go around and go and wait there for like 5 minutes. And then you understand what I'm saying? Where are you coming from? I'm coming from outside there. Which is true on the surface. But the truth is that you intended to deceive. Are you getting what I'm saying? The facts may be accurate, but you had an intention of deception. You wanted to give me the impression that you haven't left that place since I told you to go and wait there. It is still a lie. No matter how accurate the facts are, the intention is deception, and God can see it. Don't under any guise as a Christian deceive people. No. Even for their own good. I'm just trying to help him. That's why you're deceiving him. Moral excellence, especially when we're business people. In fact, Peter Daniel says that it's for your own good to be a truthful businessman. Because if you tell the truth all the time, you will deliver yourself from trouble a lot. You won't make gain initially, the way that people are making it. But who needs that kind of gain anyway? The one that is made from deception. If you are going to become big enough to display some big names in the country, God is not going to say because you worked hard, you built your business. He's going to say because as a man, as a woman of character, you qualified for that position. Those are positions you qualify for, not things you work for. Did you hear what I said? Many of the things we are laboring for in life, they are not things you work for. They are things you do what? Qualify for. It's like becoming maybe a manager somewhere. It's not because you worked there. You apply. They check your CV. They check this, check this, and say, okay, you are qualified for the position. Somebody has built the company and then put you in charge. That's what the Lord did in that Luke chapter 16. He went out to go and take a kingdom. Then he gave money to his servants to be managing. By the time they came, as they managed the money, he put them in charge of cities. You qualify for these things in life. There is a kingdom that God wants to put you over. Listen to me, you qualify for it. And what I'm describing today again is, Peter said this is a moral excellence, matter of knowledge, the matter of brotherly love, kindness, perseverance. It is character that will make your kingdom go far. I hope you got to my point. How do you establish that? Don't forget. Keep on feeding yourself with the word of God. And every time the word of God convicts you of something, you get on your knees and pray. Let me just say this as I close. Please, leave the devil alone. What did I say? He has become a distraction to many Christians. You give him the power he doesn't have, so he's very happy. He said, let's go and deceive them. You come, everybody will stay up all night. This devil that says we will die young, we won't die. Everybody, Holy Ghost fire, the whole night. All of them are still committing the kind of iniquities they were committing days before. And blaming ancestral curses. Let me say it again. Leave the devil alone. I'm not saying you're afraid of him. I'm saying he's not worth the amount of time you are giving him. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying if you uphold the word of God in your life, the devil is automatically resisted. I am saying as long as you are following God, he doesn't have power over you. I am saying that the blood of Jesus has already delivered you from those so-called ancestral curses, so don't worry about them. I'm saying many of the problems you and I have in life, they are problems that are supposed to be solved. They are not things caused by Satan because he has power over us. Don't follow anybody to the village to go and do deliverance. It's modern day waste of time. Did you hear what I said? I always crack this joke. Any witch that wants to stay inside the tree is kind. He has left the house for you, left the land for you, left your car for you, left your body for you. He said to stay in the tree in the village. If I were you, this is the kind of prayer I would pray. All you witches in that tree, I command you to remain there. Don't come out. If you come out. He said, what if I pass by? Do I walk the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil now. He said, witch, stay there. You cannot afflict anybody. You stay inside there. If I drive you out now, you're going to enter somewhere else. You have to drive witches. You know, even Jesus, when he was driving out demons, he allowed them to enter some places. So if it's some wicked Christian, they say, no. Let's enter the pig now. They say, no, you can't enter the pig. Jesus saw the demons were plenty. Let's come out of this man. They say, please, can we enter the pig? Now, Nigerian Christians are funny. The witches have not entered into a tree. You still want to chase them from there. I think they're in a good place. Any witch that has any tree should stay there. It should stay there. They are not the reason why a Christian in town is not making progress. They cannot be. They can't be. How can a witch inside a tree be the reason why you, 300 kilometers away, is not doing well? Let me just tell you this, I know it for sure. Don't worry, they are not there anyway. They are not there. They do, they are looking for what to eat. Stay inside a tree, you won't make progress. You understand my point? Many of those witches have gone to work. They are looking for somebody to... Didn't you read that the Bible said that the devil goes around looking for who to devour? They don't just stay inside a tree. Look, even witches have to eat, work before they eat. Even you don't know stealing is hard work. Your daddy, somebody broke into our offices where my ministry is. They entered our place, but they didn't take anything. When I saw the amount of climbing the person had to do, I said, why don't you just do this climbing during the day? So don't worry about it. That's what I'm going to emphasize. The fact that you have been delivered. What did I say? Say, I have been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan has no power over me. Say it, Satan has no power over me. The blood of Jesus has washed away my sins. Say it, I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free. Listen, even though you are afflicted, it's not the devil. God has delivered you already. He said, my people perish because of the devil. Because of lack of knowledge. If you understand the word of God, you know you don't need all that attention of the devil. All the devil wants to do is to make sure you doubt the word of God. So put your attention on believing the word of God. And it's automatically resisted. Listen, anything, any evil, your lack of a holy character cannot bring into your life, Satan cannot. What attracts evil towards us is all this behaving like the world. Having the same ideas about like the world. Like if I don't have money, I'm dead. Are you getting my point? Competing with other people. My friends have bought cars I have not bought. Those are the things that lead us to iniquity, not devil. The devil doesn't have that power. All he does is tempt, lie to people. And you will not be a subject of his lies in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you were blessed this morning. Sorry, it's no longer morning. This afternoon. But the blessing started in the morning and entered into the afternoon. And I finished my message. I just want to talk, all right? Praise the Lord. I finished, amen? Father, we thank you for that word. Thank you for your people. They have been liberated in the name of Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you that I finished my message. That's why I prayed that prayer. Now I want to talk. Can I talk? Let me tell you the truth. When God wants to take people from one level to another, this is what he does with their time. Yes. I said something yesterday. Let me say it again. The poor have what? the gospel preached to them. He didn't give the poor money. Why did he do like that? Many of the hindrances we have in life is because of wrong orientations. And God does not change orientation by the laying on of hands. He doesn't change it by prayer. He changes it by instruction. So it's as you expose yourself to instruction with the word of God that your situation in life gets turned around. Many people are going for prayer. They've been going for the last 7 years. Every Friday, they are somewhere doing deliverance. Go and ask them, have you been delivered? No, ask them honestly. Okay, in fact, do you need to ask? If you are still going for deliverance after 7 years, what proof do I need again that you have not been delivered? Because if you had finished the deliverance, you should have stopped since. What will have delivered them is something like this. Sit down and let the word of God be entering you. And as it's coming out, it's removing the reasons why you were bound. He said the yoke will be destroyed because of fatness. What King James calls the anointing. The Bible says the yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness. What is a yoke? A yoke is a band around the neck that ties an animal to the load he's supposed to carry. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's what Jesus was saying, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. He said, take my yoke upon you and do what? And learn of me. It is by learning that you take the yoke of Jesus. That's how he removes the former yoke from you. What is a yoke? A yoke is that which grabs the neck like this. And Isaiah said, the yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness. King James calls the word anointing. But if you read other translations, it said fatness. What does it mean by fatness? If you put a small chain around my neck and I'm getting fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter, bam, it breaks after a while. So God said, the way by which I deliver you permanently is to give you spiritual weight. Many people who you pray for, bam, be delivered. They are delivered for 1 hour. When you go home, Satan said, the neck is as lean as before. Bam, he joined the thing back again. But when you pump the fellow full of the word of God and he becomes fat, that yoke can never encircle that neck again, and he or she is permanently delivered. Amen. That's how the gospel delivers people. I hope you are blessed today. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.